Welcome to Truth and Circumstances, where we apply the truth of God's Word to the difficult situations of real life. I'm Kyle Lamb, and with me is Greg Birdwell, preaching pastor at Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio. Today we're addressing the question, as an adult, how do I honor my parents who expect me to heed their authority the way I did when I was a child?
Yes, a few weeks ago, on a Sunday morning message, the message was on the fifth commandment, to honor your father and mother. And we covered a whole bunch of different modes of human authority. But of course, you know, the one that's directly addressed by that commandment is parental authority. And this question, you know, how do we relate to that parental authority as adults? It's an issue that people ask me about occasionally in the other elders, but there wasn't really time in that message to deal with that question. So this is kind of a better forum for it, so we're dealing with it here. And I do want to make sure that I say nobody asked us to do this, because you could kind of get in trouble. That's one of the scary things about this podcast is if enough people listen to this, you can start to wonder, hey, did my loved one ask this question?
Oh,
and
yeah.
Do I need to get in, you know, a conversation with them?
Greg,
and
you've come up with many of the questions, so you don't really ever know if, well, I mean, I guess we do point it out if it is from somebody else.
Yeah, we
this
have.
One is
true.
Not.
This, yeah, nobody asked this question, but a lot of adults have this question. I've been asked this question before, but nobody asked us to deal with this, so we're not referring to any specific situation, certainly not in our church. It's just kind of a broad general thing. But I will be bringing in just experience that I've had with counselees and stuff. And let me say, those of you who are listening, you could probably tell, I've got an allergy thing going on, so I'm going to try not to be a distraction, but I feel like a distraction. But I get this weird sinusy thing going on.
And I'm immune, so Jason and him are sniffling, and I'm just fine.
You don't ever get allergies?
I don't. Never.
That is really strange.
Yeah.
So what do you have?
I don't really even ever get sick. If I do, it's usually for one day, and then I'm fine again. So it's like when I wake up and I'm sick, I just know, cool, I don't have to go to work today,
yeah,
and I'll be fine tomorrow.
Huh.
No.
You're like an attenuated version of that movie Unbreakable. Did you ever see that? My wife hates that movie,
but it's one of my favorites. One of those Christian movies?
It's M. Night Shyamalan. No, I don't watch Christian movies.
Okay.
They're almost universally terrible.
It sounds like a Christian movie title, Unbreakable.
No.
Okay.
No. It's from like early 2000s.
Okay.
But this guy could never get sick. Kind of interesting. Anyway, we should talk about important things.
Well, let's first address whether an adult child should obey their parents.
Yeah, this question assumes that they don't need to, but let's establish biblically what the question assumes, and then we can address the question itself. So, yeah,
okay.
Let's do that.
Well, first, obeying and honoring are not the same thing.
Right. There's some overlap between obeying and honoring, but they're not the same thing. The main injunction to obey our parents comes from Ephesians 6:1-3, where Paul writes, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the Lord." So, you know, does that pertain to all children, even grown children, or is it just younger children? Well, there's one group I would say it definitely doesn't apply to, and there's another group that it probably doesn't apply to.
So the command to obey definitely doesn't apply to adult children who are married.
Yeah, I would say it does not apply to adult children who are married, and I would derive that truth from Genesis 2. Okay, so we go back to Genesis 2 all the way at the beginning of the Bible. God recognizes, hey, it's not good for man to be alone. And we read in Genesis 2:18, God says, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him. This fantastic scene of God parading all these animals in front of Adam. And none of them work, right? None of them are right. 2:20 says, but for Adam there was not found a helper fit for him. Then finally God makes the woman from a rib of the man. 2:22 and 23 read, and he brought her to the man. And then the man said, and here's the Birdwell paraphrase of 2:23. This is what I'm talking about. This is what Adam says when he sees Eve for the first time. But here's what the scriptures actually say. Then the man said, this at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. And I love this scene because, you know, he's been looking at animals all day and then sees this beautiful woman. And okay, now that's right. What I'm talking about. Hmm. This is God loves me. So now that whole thing sets up this statement in Genesis 2:24, which reads, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. So that's a statement about the natural course of human development. It's the normal course of life for a man and a woman to be joined together and to become one flesh. They're no longer associated with their parents in the same way that they were during their upbringing. So they leave their parents, they become their own family, they're a new authority structure, you could say. So there's a change in authority. It's no longer parent-child between that man and woman and their parents, but there's a new authority. The husband is the authority, and the wife is under his authority. So a new home is created with a new authority. Husband's ahead of the wife. We could say that at the very least, direct parental authority ends when a child marries.
What about for adults who are not married?
Okay, so this is the group about which I would say the command to obey in Ephesians 6 most likely doesn't apply. So the first group to where I would say it doesn't apply is married adults. The group about which I would say it probably doesn't apply is grown children who are not married. Okay, grown children. So the word children in Ephesians 6:1 is the Greek word techna, which just means an offspring of human parents, which is not super helpful when you're trying to narrow down the age group, because it can refer to any age group. Now, there's another Greek word for child that does specifically mean young child, but this isn't the one that's used. It's not what's used in Ephesians 6:1. So this word, techna, can mean any age group. So it's got to be the context that decides for us what the word means. But praise the Lord, the context is actually very helpful, because we go down just a few verses to 6:4. So verses 1 through 3 talks to children, then 6:4 talks to fathers. It says, fathers, do not provoke your children, same word, techna, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And I'd say this helps because the same words being used in the same context, but the instruction to the father indicates that these are children who are still being raised. Bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. That verb bring up is a verb you would only use it regarding growing children. You would never use that regarding adult children. You don't bring up adults. So for that reason, I'd say that the whole context is about the home and the children being raised in the home, and the children being raised in the home, they're addressed first, and then the fathers raising those children are addressed next. Now, that's not so clear that, you know, I would get into a fist fight over it. I've never been in a fist fight, by the way. So I'm not a fist. Have you ever been in a fist fight?
I don't think so.
No. Yeah, we're lovers, not fighters.
Yeah.
It's a figure of speech. All I mean is, I would not be super dogmatic about what I just said, saying that, you know, a grown adult is not under the parent's authority. I would be crazy dogmatic about that. I'm not as sure about that as I am about something like substitutionary atonement, but I'm sure enough about it that I would preach it confidently. I'd counsel others in that direction. I'm planning to follow that guideline with my own kids, you know, when my kids are grown. I've got a son who's turning 18 in 2 days.
Wow.
That's bizarre.
That's crazy.
Because I'm just a young man.
Yeah.
This is really weird. I believe that things are going to change somewhat between he and I in 2 days. That I'm going to follow this guideline with my own kids. All of that being said, I think if adult children are still living at home, and that is going to be the case with my 18-year-old son, if adult children are still living at home, they should abide by the rules of the home. But that's not so much because of parental authority as it is just being a polite human being. You know, if I were staying in your house, you're younger than I am, but I would abide by the rules of your house. You know, that just seems like being a polite human being. So my son is about to turn 18. He still is going to have to abide by the rules of our house, but it's not so much because he's our son. It's just he's living in our house and eating our food and using our toilet paper and stuff. So he's just going to be a polite guest, so to speak. But he's going to have freedoms that he doesn't have right now, if that makes sense, because he's going to be treated like an adult, you know.
Right. So what are grown children, Greg?
Yeah, that is the question, isn't it? What are grown children? The scriptures don't really answer that for us, and so I'd say it's largely a cultural issue. Some would say it's 18, and I've kind of hinted at that just now. I'm talking about my own son. So I think a lot of people would think that way in our culture. Some would say it's 21, and I think a lot of people would think that way because that's when you can drink. That's kind of an arbitrary thing, but there's room for disagreement about when a person becomes an adult. But I think it is largely a cultural thing. But given the commands in the New Testament for adults to work and provide for their families and to not be lazy and to be responsible, and I'm thinking about passages like 1 Timothy 5, 8, and 2 Thessalonians 3, 6 through 12, there comes a time when children are no longer dependent upon adults and they should take care of themselves. I mean, those commands assume that there's a time in life when mom and dad are no longer picking up the bill and you are responsible for feeding yourself and clothing yourself and even other people around you, okay? But it seems that the natural course for parents, according to Ephesians 6:4, is to prepare their children for adulthood. So any parent who wants to exert control over their adult children, especially children who don't live under their roof, they've got control issues or issues trusting the Lord or having their own identity in the Lord. I mean, there do seem to be parents who don't want their children to move out or to be autonomous, and I've seen this on rare occasions. And I wouldn't want to assign universally selfish motives to that. It may be that they just don't understand, but maybe they haven't had good role models themselves or they haven't had good teaching, whatever the reason. They don't have the mindset that their job is to prepare their children for adulthood, but rather they want their children to remain dependent upon them. Whatever it is, it's kind of an unbiblical frame of mind. The scriptures seem to point us toward this ideal that at some point in life, a person becomes an adult and they're on their own. They take care of themselves and their parents don't take care of them. Their parents don't make all of their decisions for them. That's where childhood is heading. That should be the mindset of the child. It should be the mindset of the parent as well.
Yeah. Do you think there's maybe not as much said in the scriptures because in the Jewish context it was common that adult children were married by a certain time or, you know, anything along those lines?
I absolutely think that's the case. And I say that because even in like modern Christian contexts, It is more common for people to be married young than outside of, like here in this church, we got a lot of really young married people mm-hmm. that you wouldn't find just in the normal employees at P&G.
Or Apple.
Yeah, or Apple. Yeah, sorry, didn't mean to disrespect there. The norm outside of the church is you wait until 30 or something to get married.
And then don't have kids.
Right.
Which is fine because we'll take over the world with our Christian children.
Right. Right. You wait until a lot later in life to get married, and anymore you live in your parents' basement for a long time.
Yeah.
So those lines are blurred culturally in ways that they weren't before. So I think you're probably right. It's likely that the scriptures don't talk about those things because culturally it wasn't an issue. People just got married at that age.
Right. Yeah. Right. Well, I think this is a good place to stop for today. We'll pick up next time. This has been Truth and Circumstances. You can visit our website at truthandcircumstances.com. If you have any questions you'd like to hear us address on the podcast, you can email those to questions@truthandcircumstances.com. You can also follow us on Twitter and ask your questions there. Truth and Circumstances is a ministry of Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.